believe it or not, what I'm about to preach on, Bible prophecy should also be cause to celebrate if our hearts are in the right place. It's no different than Robert and Carly. Where are you at? Back there. Hey, give it up for them. They're getting married, Lord willing, next month. And I'm going to go out on a limb here, but I'm thinking they're kind of excited. Robert is. We'll pray for Carly, but that's right. Or pray for Robert. I don't know. So, but as the day gets closer, it gets more exciting, right? And folks, believe it or not, that's why I think the Bible tells us when we study Bible prophecy, it's not just one, not just two, but a triple blessing. Because this news, we need to translate it, is not what the American church says today, doom and gloom. That's the message. It's not what the Bible says. When we see news that Jesus Christ is coming back to get us, we should be getting just as excited as Robert and Carly, because that means our wedding day approaches. Jesus is getting ready to come get us, his bride. And I don't know about you, but that's something to celebrate. Amen? Well, hey, how many of you guys have ever had one of those days where it was just like, man, I should have just stayed in bed? You ever have one of those days? It seemed like, man, nothing went right, everything went wrong, and it was just a really rotten day, right? Have you guys had one of those? Well, believe it or not, folks, if you thought you had it bad, I think I found some people that have had a worse day than pretty much anything you and I can come up with. But let's take a look at these encounters.
Hola, dale. Thank you.
You all right?
That's right. That's a pretty bad day. Hey, how many guys would say that guy on the forklift probably got fired? Okay. But that's some pretty bad days. Those guys probably should have stayed in bed. But believe it or not, folks, as bad as that was, even the forklift one, whew, I think I've discovered a day that's even worse than that. Okay. It goes something like this. And it's you wake up one morning and all of a sudden you realize, bang, your Christian family is gone. In fact, all of a sudden you turn on the news and every single Christian on the whole planet is gone. And all of a sudden it dawns on you, oh man, no, why didn't I listen? I've been left behind. And the Bible says you are headed for the worst day of all. I didn't say that, Jesus did. You are headed for the 7-year tribulation, and that is not a joke. The Bible says it's an outpouring of God's wrath on this wicked and rebellious planet. He's going to have the last word on this baloney, folks. Okay, judgment day is coming. A lot sooner than I think people believe. And Jesus said it's going to be the worst time in the history of mankind. Such great horror that unless God shortened this time frame of the 7-year tribulation, the entire human race would be wiped out. Okay? But praise God, God's not just a God of wrath. He's a God of love as well. And because he loves you and I, this is why he wants us to study Bible prophecy. He loves us. He gives us so many warning signs so that we're not caught off guard, so that when we would know when the tribulation was near. And praise God, the rapture is right around the corner. Anybody excited about that? Yeah, Jesus Christ is coming back to get us. And did you know it's a much better place than this garbage can? Hello? Okay, it's going to be awesome, okay? So to keep you and I from experiencing the ultimate bad day of being left behind, even worse than that forklift guy. We're going to continue our study, the final countdown update, okay? We've already seen several different things, four updates so far in our study. The Jewish people, we dealt with the Antichrist, we dealt with modern technology, and the last three times, worldwide upheaval. One more time, turn to somebody and encourage them in their ear and say this, boom! Okay? The planet is going to blow up, literally. It's going to get way worse before Jesus comes back. And that's what we've saw so far with the rise of wars and rumors of wars and famines and earthquakes. And last time, if you were here, with pestilences or diseases. And there we saw right now, folks, if you're paying attention to the news, our planet is being filled with sickness like never before on a global scale. We got diseases cropping up all over the place. In fact, diseases we thought we had long since conquered, they're coming back, and they're coming back with a vengeance. Okay? And we saw that was due to mosquitoes, chickens. You purposely pause for the dramatic effect. Chickens, okay, was another one. The border issue going on right now. Travel technology, laboratories, and that's right, even the lack of effective antibiotics. Do you really think it's by chance that we see all these diseases spiraling out of control at the exact same time? Medically, we're losing our ability to fight off these diseases because we've saturated ourselves with antibiotics. It's almost like it's exactly on time for Jesus' warning that in the last days, you're going to see an increase of pestilence right before he comes back. It's almost like the Bible's right or something. What do you guys think? Hey, all three of you, praise God. But that's not all. The fifth sign to indicate we are headed for worldwide upheaval, we'll finish this sign up anyway, Lord willing, today, is the increase of signs in the sky. Okay? Anything weird going on up there to maybe indicate that Jesus is getting ready to come back? Sure, Pastor Billy. Thank you, Joey Carpentino. That's 2 weeks in a row. Yes, you are right. But don't take Joey's word for it. Let's listen to God's. Open your Bibles to Luke 21. Luke 21. Let's take a look at our text there. And, of course, Luke was written by? Luke. You guys are scholars. All right. I'll give you one. You're really straining our relationship. But anyway, that's right. We'll talk about it later. But anyway, Luke 21, verses 7 through 11. Let's take a look at our classic text, the parallel passage of Matthew 24. And Jesus gives us a couple other nuggets of how do we know it's getting close, okay? And let's take a look. Verse 7, when you get there, say moo. All right, there we go. They said this to Jesus. Teacher, they asked, okay, when will these things happen? And what's going to be the sign that they're about to take place? And Jesus replied, he says, watch out that you are not deceived. For many will come in my name claiming, I am he, and the time is near. Do not follow them, Jesus said. Now when you hear of wars and revolutions, don't be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. Then he said to them, you're going to see nation rise against nation. You're going to see kingdom against kingdom. There's going to be great earthquakes and famines and pestilence in various places. And here we go, one more. And fearful events and great signs from the where? From the heavens is what Jesus said. So right after he tells us, you better be on the lookout, number one, for deceit. Lord willing, we'll get to that next week. He said, look out for wars and famines and earthquakes and pestilence that we already saw. He said, the very next thing you're going to see is a sign. It's getting close to his return. Okay, bride, get excited for your wedding day. Okay, is you're going to see also these great signs from the heavens, okay? It's the Greek word ouranos. Turn to somebody and say ouranos. You Greek scholars, you. And it literally means sky, atmosphere, or space, depending on the context. And so the question for you and I then is, today, right now, that was prophesied nearly 2,000 years ago from our Lord Jesus Christ, do we see any signs of any kind of weird, aberrant activity in the sky or atmosphere or space letting us know that Jesus is right around the corner? Yes, and thank you for agreeing because it works well with my notes. The first sign is we're seeing some really weird stuff going on with the solar activity, with the sun. And the reason why that's important is because the Bible's very clear in the tribulation period. First of all, you don't want to be there. Second of all, the sun is going to literally sear people like a piece of meat. The sun is going to get turned up. That's what we see in this text. Let's take a look here. Revelation chapter 16, verse 8 through 9 says this. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying, go to the seven angels. Go pour out the seven bowls of God's what? Wrath on the earth. You don't want to be there. The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and the sun was given power to scorch people with fire. Listen to how bad it is. They were seared like a piece of meat. It's so hot. By the intense heat, and they cursed the name of God who had control over these plagues, but they listened, they refused to repent and glorify Him. Now that's exactly the opposite of what man says today about himself. Oh, man's so wonderful, so great, so... Are you kidding me? Your heart is so stinking hard during this time. You still refuse to repent and get right with God, okay? But the Bible says this, that during the seven-year tribulation, the sun is going to get so hot. It isn't just going to get, oh, that's uncomfortable. Everybody lives in Vegas now. No. It's going to get so bad that it says there that you get seared literally like a piece of meat on a global scale. And so the question is, do we see any signs right now of the sun starting to heat up a little bit, preparing for this? Yeah, there's a bunch. As we already saw, folks, this is what's wild. There's been massive mega, is there a word, mega solar flares, huge massive sunspots. Listen, a solar tornado. Didn't even know they had those things. A solar tornado on the sun's surface that was 125,000 miles high, which is about half the distance between the earth and the moon. That's how big that is. Okay? And solar storms, they say, can hit the earth with a force of 100 million, not 1,000, 100 million hydrogen bombs. And how many guys would say that that would kind of mess things up? Yeah, just a little bit. In fact, the news is starting to pick up on this present danger that the sun's acting weird. And when it gets cranked up, it's going to really mess things up on the planet. Let's take a look at that. Even the news is starting to admit it.
Imagine if the lights just went out across the entire country.
The power went out and everybody's like panicking. They don't know what to do.
There's reports of blackouts happening all over our East Coast.
The blackout may run along the entire Northwest Corridor.
If the electric grid goes, it is an absolute catastrophe for society.
It'll be okay, honey. It'll be all right.
Every major city in America, how does it get its water supply? Where do we get our medication? What happens to our transportation grid, food supplies, and hospitals?
The lights are out.
People are without water.
One violent active region on the sun can cause continent-wide, perhaps even planetary-scale impacts to our critical infrastructure.
The power grid is gravely threatened by electromagnetic pulse blasts from the sun.
We don't have any planning for how to deal with that.
We could lose our whole grid. We're talking water, we're talking power plants, we're talking nuclear power plants, we're talking fuel, we're talking transportation and computers to order parts and for people to communicate. All of that would be gone. It's so traumatic that I just don't think people can even fathom how bad it would be.
It would literally paralyze all the United States, not just for a day or an hour, but for months to years. Talking about the loss of all electricity and all satellite activity. We'd be thrown 100 years back into the past.
We didn't realize the potential about geomagnetic storms as being a source of power grid outages to nuclear plants. We could have hundreds like Fukushima at the same time. Essentially, we're playing a game of Russian roulette with the sun.
The likelihood of a severe geomagnetic event capable of crippling our electric grid is 100%.
In other words, the media is admitting that it is going to happen really soon. It's just a matter of time, and you better get ready. Okay? The world right now is admitting, hey, wait a second, guys, wake up. It's almost like what we observe is the sun is getting ready to do something horrible to the planet. Who ever heard that before? That's what the Bible says. Yeah, whoever said that, thank you. And I didn't have to use the fake voice. But you might be thinking, because there's one other thing that's going on in this text, and I wanted to bring this out, okay? See, it says there that they curse God. Now, that's pretty intense, okay? I mean, I can see what they just mentioned here, and that would seriously mess up. The electronic grid goes out, it would mess everything up big time, right? But why curse God? Well, Jesus said, folks, that all these things are just the beginning of birth pains, okay, that we're seeing these signs, which means it's going to get worse than what we just saw in that video. The Bible's very clear. We already saw the text. When the sun gets heated up to its full extent during the seven-year tribulation, it is going to make that, we're going to wish that's all it was. It's going to make that look like chump change, okay? In fact, maybe the searing of the flesh. The sun getting so hot. Maybe it'll look something like this. Let's take a look.
We're going to stay on the air for as long as possible. All we can say is what we've been repeating all morning. Get to any kind of underground shelter.
What did the text say? Towards the end of the 7-year tribulation, you need to know that it gets worse, even worse, towards the end. It's called the Great Tribulation. Towards the end of the 7-year tribulation, the sun's going to get cranked up so bad that people will be seared like a piece of meat and they will curse the name of God. I don't recommend it. You should repent and get saved. You should have repented right now and got saved and avoided the whole thing. But I can understand why the text says, and they cursed God. We could laugh, we could sit here and scoff all we want, but if we continue to reject Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're headed for a reality like that, if you even make it that far in the 7-year tribulation. But that's not all. The second sign from the sky, letting us know that Jesus is right around the corner. Woo-hoo, bride, it's time to get excited, celebrate, is the rise of an asteroid impact. If you thought it was bad with the sun, woo, here comes a rock from space. And that's exactly what the scripture says. This is going to happen, folks. Let's take a look at that text there. This is now in the Revelation chapter 8, verses 2, 8 through 9. And then I saw 7 angels who stand before God, and to them were given 7 trumpets. And the second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain, this baby is large, and it's all ablaze, obviously it's coming through the atmosphere, was thrown where? Into the sea. So we know where it's going to land. And here's what happened. A third of the sea turned into blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Okay? And as we saw before, once again, if it wasn't bad enough with the sun, now you see that another event from the sky that's going to take place is an asteroid is going to be thrown specifically into the sea. And so again, the point to bring home for you and I, this was prophesied about nearly 2,000 years ago. Do we see any signs in the skies that we're under any kind of threat of some asteroid possibly smashing into the earth? Yes, thank you. Bobby, let's give it for Bobby. That's right. All right. Yeah. In fact, folks, it's very commonplace. In fact, it's so commonplace, the warning's been out for years. Hollywood's picking up on it and making all kinds of movies about it, right? Okay, but not just Hollywood. That's not our source of truth. Scientists are now saying, folks, listen, it's not just a matter of if. Scientists right now are saying it's a matter of when we get struck by an asteroid. 100% they agree it is going to happen, and most likely a lot more sooner than we think. And they said when that happens, the results are going to be absolutely unbelievable. Listen to this quote. They said the loss of human, animal, and plant life would take place on a grand scale like never before. And the shockwaves from that event would create huge tsunami waves, destroying both coastlands and the inland areas, not to mention a whole bunch of ships, like one-third around the world. That's exactly what the text says. And they admit that that's what would happen, okay? In fact, experts are saying, folks, it might happen a whole lot sooner than you think. And if you think we've got this great thing in place that is going to protect us from... Watch this. We got no assurance, man. Check this out.
All of us on this planet are on the brink of a kind of close encounter. A big asteroid is hurtling through space, and it's supposed to miss us by a cosmic inch, just 17,000 miles. That's closer than some of our weather satellites. In fact, it's so close, scientists are springing into action. And here's ABC's Neil Karlinski.
Right now, while you're watching this, a chunk of space rock big enough to level a city is hurtling towards our planet 8 times faster than a speeding bullet. The good news is, scientists say it will miss. The scary news is, the 130,000 metric ton asteroid called DA14 is the size of half a football field, and it will be much closer than the moon. In fact, it will thread the needle between Earth and the roughly 600 satellites around us, the ones that your cell phone relies on, possibly even smashing one to smithereens on its way by. But if that's why you're thinking this is all still a long, long way from all of us way down here walking the streets, you may want to think again. The last close call turned out to be a direct hit. It was 1908, and luckily it hit the middle of nowhere, Siberia, decimating 1,000 miles of trees, but no people. Amazingly, no one knew DA14 was headed our way until a Spanish dentist and amateur astronomer randomly discovered it a year ago. NASA doesn't have the resources to look for asteroids.
Well, hey, it's a good thing that the administration cut their budget. A dentist found that for us. Can you believe that? An amateur discovered that thing. How's that for your early warning system? They don't show that in Hollywood, do they? Oh, no, mankind's got this incredible heist. Yeah, whatever. No, we don't. Folks, read your Bible. It's not a matter of if, it's going to be when. The Bible's very clear. An asteroid will slam into the earth. Mankind will not be able to stop it. And it's so big, this baby is like the size of a mountain. It is on fire, and the effects are unbelievable. In fact, I want to bring out another thing that's in this text, okay? And that is the phrase there, that one of the side effects we saw before is that it destroys a third of the ships around the world. And we saw that with tsunamis, and that's what happens. When they go inland, they destroy all the ships, take them in, and that makes common sense. But I want to focus on this phrase this time with cause the sea to turn into blood. That's the other side effect. It says cause the sea to turn into blood, and you might think, well, what's that all about? Well, some commentators would say that that refers to actual blood, and that God just does some supernatural event where he causes the sea to turn into blood. He certainly could. He spoke, and the whole universe came into existence. He could certainly do that. I don't necessarily agree with that, but that's what some say. Others would say that this is speaking more symbolically of death, because the Bible says that the life is in the blood. And so I actually kind of lean more towards that myself. And it fits the text, because what's the result? Not only one-third of the ships are destroyed around the world, but one-third of the sea creatures, when it got caused, turned to blood, one-third of the sea creatures died, right? And so the question is, well, what kind of death-causing agent could be released, specifically as the text says, an asteroid smashing into the ocean? Well, get this, folks. Believe it or not, for the first time in mankind's history, maybe we could see what John saw. Thanks to modern technology and modern oil drilling in the ocean, we now know, unfortunately, the hard way, that if you drill too deep in the Earth's ocean, down there, way below, there's this death-causing liquid that will float up to the surface. Do you guys remember the Gulf oil spill a few years back? That's where that came from. They couldn't cap that baby, and it was America's worst oil spill, and it killed tons of sea creatures all over the area. But see, that's not the half of it. When that oil, when that substance came out from the mantle of the earth deep into the ocean and floated to the top, some aerial footage was taken. You tell me what it looks like. Here's one photo. It's kind of red. You wouldn't expect that. You're thinking black. No. When it comes to the top, that stuff turns red. Here's another photo of a ship trying to gather it up together. That almost looks kind of like blood or something like that. Here's another photo here, really obvious. Look at that. Okay, now those are aerial shots. Here's a close-up, folks. You tell me what this looks like to you. Looks like blood. Interesting. Not going to say, thus saith the Lord, but folks, for you and I here today, could it be that maybe we're seeing a little bit of what John saw 2,000 years ago? You put all this together with modern technology in our lifetime and now our ability to drill and crack the mantle of the earth in the ocean. When an asteroid the size of a mountain smashes right into the sea, it's obviously going to crack the mantle of the earth. And guess what's going to come floating to the top And guess what's going to look like blood and kill one-third of the sea creatures around the planet? Isn't that wild? It's all happening in our lifetime. But that's still not the third sign from the sky letting us know that Jesus is coming back real soon is the rise of volcanoes. Okay? Let's take a look at how that fits the scripture. Once again, during the seven-year tribulation, this time Revelation chapter 6, verse 12 through 14, John said this, "Now I watched and he opened up the sixth seal and there was this great earthquake." Okay? And here's what that thing did. It turned the what? The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red, and the stars in the sky fell to the earth as late figs drop from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. The sky receded like a scroll, rolling up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Okay? How many of you guys would say that's a big earthquake? Slightly, okay? And this is what we see. When this earthquake during the seven-year tribulation goes off, folks, it is going to mess up the planet big time. It says specifically it's going to turn the sun black like sackcloth and the moon blood red. Now, as we saw before, most people, and I agree, believe you should take that passage absolutely literally. Because thanks to modern science and the science of seismology, we now know this fits the perfect description of an after effect of earthquakes called volcanic eruptions. Oftentimes they trigger also volcanoes. Earthquakes do, okay? And so it's common sense today that when a volcano erupts, okay, what's it do? It spews forth massive tons of ash into the air, and guess what it does? It darkens the sunlight, almost like something's covering it, like a sackcloth, and at night it turns the moon into like a reddish color. Ever heard that before? So obviously you're dealing with some volcanic activity. So the point for you and I, again here today, do we see any signs of volcanoes starting to go off on a crazy scale today? Yes, and we almost didn't need that help, Bobby, but we thank you. We still used it anyway. Slightly. Listen to this, folks. This is absolutely wild. Right now as we speak, as we're sitting here, there's a massive one going off in Russia. It's one of their biggest ones. In fact, I'm going to give you a little bit of homework. Go to this website and check it out yourself, volcanodiscovery.com. That's right, Joey Carpentino. VolcanoDiscovery.com. Repetition increases remembrance. VolcanoDiscovery.com. Go there today and listen. You're not just going to see volcanoes going off. You're going to see all the volcanoes all around the world all going off right now as we sit here all at the same time. Massive amounts of them. There's so many going off on our planet right now on a global scale. I don't think they even report them because it would get redundant. Right now in Italy, in Hawaii, Papua New Guinea, Vanuatu, whatever that island is, Mexico, Guatemala, Tanzania, Congo, the Indian Ocean, Japan, Ecuador, even the Antarctica has volcanoes going off right now. It's absolutely amazing. In fact, listen, they're occurring in record numbers. Listen to this. The Alaskan Volcano Observatory said recently the Aleutian volcanoes are waking up. And in the last few months, it's the most activity they've seen in 26 years. One expert said this, last year will go on record as seeing the most volcanic eruptions recorded in modern history. It's increasing on a massive scale. In fact, one of the ones that they're really concerned about here in the U.S. is Yellowstone, the Yellowstone caldera, okay? And the experts are saying it's not a matter of if, but when that baby goes off. And as we saw before, when that thing goes off, two-thirds of the United States wiped out. Let's take a look at that.
At Yellowstone, we may be on the edge of a precipice. And the question is not if it will erupt, but how and when.
Nothing you can do about a volcano. If it's going to go off, it's going to go off. And the effects on civilization are going to be drastic.
The first indications of a Yellowstone eruption will be rumblings heard underfoot as dozens of small earthquakes begin. The ground begins to rise from the pressure of the expanding hot waters, gases, and surging magma. Lava first appears oozing out of cracks in the surface. Then, steam and ash explode hundreds of feet into the air. From 5 miles below the surface, molten rock heated to 1,200 degrees bursts into the air. Like a hurricane of ash, pyroclastic flows rip along the ground at 100 miles per hour. For those who left the park within the past half hour, their luck has run out. 50 miles away, the 30,000 residents of Bozeman, Montana watch in horror as the plume of ash and rock reaches into the sky. If they know anything about Yellowstone's past, they'll know they have little time before their city is devastated.
The pyroclastic flows may go out as far as 50 to 100 miles away from the volcano. And so you'd see the pyroclastic flows coming across ridge after ridge after ridge, and then finally hitting where you are. So locally, regionally, it's absolutely devastating. Everything would be killed.
Wave after wave of burning ash and debris destroy everything in their paths. With so little warning, nearly 400,000 people are at risk. And it gets worse. The weight of the falling ash collapses roofs across the states of Wyoming, Idaho, and Utah, killing thousands. While a cloud of lighter ash, 1,000 times larger than the one produced by Mount St. Helens, drifts eastward with the wind. And then, the deadliest part of the Yellowstone eruption begins.
There's lots of ways you can die in a pyroclastic eruption. And one way is to inhale the stuff and inhale these sharp pieces of glass. They attack the lungs, they attack the bones, they kill you from the inside.
Farm animals have no protection. Within weeks, vast numbers of the country's livestock die, and volcanic ash covers much of the Midwest's farmland.
You can't grow anything in that ash. Fresh volcanic ash is sterile. And so it wipes out the breadbasket of the world, breadbasket of Canada, breadbasket of the United States.
Well, that's going to make all those increase of famines even worse that Jesus talked about and we saw a couple weeks ago. Interesting. So if that goes off, it's not just going to mess up the U.S., it's going to mess up the whole planet. And that's just one volcano. Folks, we saw before when that great earthquake goes off in Revelation chapter 6, it just so happens that the active volcanoes just happen to be located on top of the fault lines on the whole planet. And this is what we saw with this map before. It's called the Ring of Fire. As you can see there, the tectonic plates where the earthquakes are going up and cracking up the earth, all those red dots, folks, are volcanoes on the planet. And so that means, according to this map, and this is the USGS map, you can see it there in the left corner, folks, this is their map, not mine, this is their map. When that great earthquake goes off in Revelation chapter 6 and every mountain and every island is removed from its place, guess what is most likely going to go off all at the same time all over the world? Volcanoes. And you know what that's going to cause? Why, by cracky, I think it's going to cause the sun to turn black like sackcloth and the moon blood red all over the planet like you can't even believe. We're seeing the fulfillment of that. In fact, just real quick before we move on, a recent article about the Ring of Fire said this: 10 major volcanoes have erupted along the Ring of Fire in the past few months. It's waking up. And quote, the mainstream media in the United States has been strangely silent about this. In fact, strangely silent, speaking of that, in the U.S., listen to this. I had to find this, and I found this, from a news outlet in South Africa. Listen to what they shared in their news. Didn't get it here, I believe. Said, quote, if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupts, then millions of U.S. citizens could end up in Brazil, Australia, or Argentina. Quote, the African National Congress was offered $10 billion a year for 10 years if it would build temporary housing for Americans in case of an eruption. Wait a second. If we're safe and everything's cool, don't forget they're relying on a dentist to warn us from an asteroid. But if we're okay and we're cool, then why are you making these behind-the-door deals with other countries to house us if nothing's going to happen and we're okay? And turn to somebody and say, hey, it's time to celebrate. Jesus is coming back. That's what all this means, folks. It's all coming together, okay? But let's finish it up. The sixth sign to indicate where we're at worldwide upheaval is not just an increase of signs on the sky. In the sky, Jesus says, the Bible says, it's going to happen where? On the earth. Real quickly, let's take a look at that classic passage. That's in the book of Joel chapter 2, verse 30 through 31. God says, I will show wonders in the heavens, but I'm also going to show what? You're going to see some serious wonders on the earth as well. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the what? Happy and exciting? No, you don't want to be there. The great and dreadful day of the Lord. Okay? And here we see, folks, that the Bible says that God's not only going to show signs in the sky, he's getting ready to judge us. He's also going to give you some signs to indicate here on earth he's getting ready to judge us, right? And so again, that's the question. Do we see any signs of weird stuff going on planet earth as maybe an indicator from God he's getting ready to judge us and we better get motivated? Yes, folks, and the first sign on earth is the rise of weird weather. Have you noticed that things are getting really big and scary with the weather lately? And aberrant? I'm big time. In fact, let's remind ourselves who controls the weather. This is just one text, real quickly. Matthew chapter 8, verse 24 through 27. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. And Jesus was freaking out. In fact, he was on the GPS satellite wondering what's going to happen next. And no, Jesus was sleeping. He wasn't worried, right? Why? Well, I think you know why. The disciples went and woke him and says, Lord, save us. Oh, we're going to drown. And Jesus replied, you have little faith. All right? Prone translation, take a chill pill. All right? Stop freaking out. You have little faith. Why are you so afraid? Do you have any idea who's in the boat with you? In other words, then Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and it was, listen, the text says, completely calm. I don't have time to go into this, but I believe the Greek gives the picture is it was a massive, furious storm, and they were literally going, oh, and when Jesus rebuked it, it instantly, not over 15 minutes and settled down, instantly, it was calm. And that says, here's what they responded with. Whoa. The men were amazed, and they asked, what kind of man is this? I mean, even the winds and the waves obey him. Whoa. And I wanted to bring this up because obviously Jesus is not afraid of the weather because he controls the weather. Hello, he's God, right? God is the one who controls the weather. And the reason why I bring that up, because when you talk about weather, most of us are so unfortunately ingrained by secular society and secular thinking. We think even as Christians that when the weather gets weird, it's just some naturalistic response. No. Sometimes we need to wake up and realize that sometimes it's a wake-up call from God. That he's given you a sign on the earth that he's getting ready to judge us. And that's exactly, folks, what's happening. So experts are saying right now, quote, we need to prepare ourselves for, quote, extreme weather. Okay? This is the trend. Quote, earthquakes, heat waves, floods, super typhoons, blizzards, landslides, droughts have killed at least 250,000 people in 1 year alone. And listen, more people have been killed worldwide by natural disasters in 1 year recently than have been killed by terrorism attacks in the past 40 years combined. Right now, Britain right now is experiencing its worst hailstorms since 1843, and the weather here in the U.S. is getting so messed up that did you know, I couldn't believe this, did you know the weather's getting so bad all over the U.S. that we now have these things called land hurricanes? The fancy word they give it is a derecho. Woo. Okay. But it's a land hurricane. We now have land hurricanes. Let's take a look.
The severe storm rolling across the nation right now. Weather experts putting out a kind of all points bulletin. One in five Americans in the path of what could become a weather phenomenon called a derecho, a 240-mile stretch of wicked wind. And ABC's meteorologist Ginger Z is standing watch with the people of Chicago right now. Ginger.
Tonight, the atmosphere is fully charged. Tornadoes already touching down in Iowa and Illinois. And we are right here. The chaos in the atmosphere could produce a dangerous weather phenomenon known as a derecho. Its calling card, often ominous shelf clouds like these. A derecho is a powerful line of storms that can expand hundreds of miles long, winds blasting up to 100 miles per hour. It starts to take on a bow shape because air rises in the storms, cools and falls behind them, then pushes the front of the line out. They can be deadly and certainly as damaging as weak tornadoes. Last year's big derecho tore through 12 states, with it blinding downpours from Illinois to D.C., winds gusting to over 100 miles per hour, and a huge part of the nation peppered with lightning. Trees were plucked and chucked into homes and cars. This street in Ohio blanketed in power lines. It left $1 billion in damage and killed 13 people.
From a land hurricane. Land hurricane. The weather's getting so bad that we now have a land hurricane. Can you believe that? It's almost like God's trying to get our attention or something. How about you guys? Because our nation has turned from God. The second sign from Earth is the rise of plagues. You see, God judged other nations before, and one of them was Egypt. And I don't know about you, but I think we're seeing some similar things going on. Also, I believe is a wake-up call from God. And the first plague that could be a sign that God's getting ready to judge us, even here in America, is the rise of locusts. Ooh, they're just popping out of the sky. How'd you like that text? But let's take a look at that. Oh, yeah. You guys getting the feel for it? That's a teamwork. Give it up for Aaron. Whoa, right on. I like that. Exodus chapter 10, verse 3 through 6. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said to him, "This is what the Lord, the God of Hebrews, says. How long will you refuse to humble yourself before me?" Hey, that could be a statement across our country today. America, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? What do I got to do to get your attention? Well, here's what God did for Pharaoh. He said, "Let my people go so that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go, I'm going to bring what? Locusts into your country tomorrow. They will cover the face of the ground that it cannot be seen. They will devour what little you have left after the hail, including every tree that is growing in your fields. Listen, they will fill your houses and those of the officials and the Egyptians. Listen, it's so bad that it's going to be something, quote, neither your fathers nor your forefathers have ever seen from the day they settled in this land until now." In other words, it isn't just going to, "I'm going to send some locusts." You're going to get so many locusts, it's going to be the biggest, most mind-blowing thing you've ever seen. I mean, you just, all to get your attention. And folks, this is what's absolutely wild, okay? We're not just experiencing massive locust invasions here in the U.S., but just like that text, it's something we've never even seen. Did you realize right now, folks, that locust invasions are occurring in the U.S. so big that they're even appearing on radar? Watch this. This is wild.
Meteorologists were confused, so they called in the radar professionals, who were equally baffled. What was that green blob drifting over Albuquerque, New Mexico?
We actually thought that the radar was broke. So we had our technicians go out there a couple times. They couldn't find anything wrong, so we had to call the National Radar Depot in Oklahoma.
Well, the experts in Oklahoma answered with a question. They want to know if Albuquerque has an insect problem. And as it turns out, they do. That green patch was radar spotting thousands of grasshoppers flying 1,000 feet high, well above the town's tallest buildings. And all adds up to the city's worst infestation in 20 years.
Interesting. What did the text say? See, this is what blew me away. "It would be something neither your fathers nor your forefathers have ever seen from the day they settled into this land until now." We've got locust invasions here in America because, folks, we are rejecting and rebelling against God as well. I've never heard of locust invasions appearing on radar. Have you? I don't think my dad ever did. It's exactly like the text says. One more to go. The second plague that could be a sign that God's getting ready to judge us, folks, is the rise of frogs. And you're thinking, frogs? Come on, not that one. Folks, I'm telling you. Oh, you guys are way too good. I like that. Thank you. It's frogs. Man, this wasn't even scripted. Exodus chapter 8, verse 1 through 2 says this. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord says. What do I got to do to get your attention? Locusts didn't work. Well, hey, let my people go so that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go, I will plague your whole country with what? Frogs." And again, you're thinking, come on, Pastor Billy, not frogs. I could see bugs. I could see hail. I could see that other stuff. But not frog invasions back in Egypt like that. Yeah, there are. In fact, it's not only happening in Greece, but to listen to their own words, they've even described it as just that, a biblical plague of frogs. Watch this.
"We've had skies closed due to volcanic ash. And now more travel chaos due to an act of God. This time roads closed by a biblical plague, a horde of frogs shutting a highway in Greece. The local traffic police chief putting the numbers of the offending amphibians in the millions."
Frog invasion. We're now experiencing frog invasions, just like Egypt. You know, if I didn't know better, I'd say God is trying to get our attention. But surely we're not as stubborn as Pharaoh. Yeah, Folks, this is precisely why God, out of love, over these past several weeks, has given us all these signs just specifically on worldwide upheaval. It's to wake us up. The rise of wars and rumors of wars and famines and earthquakes and pestilence and signs from the sky and signs from the earth to show us the tribulation is near and the rapture is right around the corner. Hey, we don't know the exact day nor the hour, but hello, it's getting close. It's time to celebrate. And that's why Jesus said, Luke 21:28, when these things begin to take place, when you see frogs invading, man, what more has he got to do, man? It is time to stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. If you're here today as a Christian, you need to translate it like this. Hey, it's time to get excited. It's time to celebrate. But don't just sit on it. You need to get busy working together with other Christians and get the gospel out so people can be saved. Amen? All right? But if you're here today and you're not a Christian, what more does God got to do to you? How many more signs does he need to give you? You don't want to be left behind. And there's only one way out of this mess. And that's through Jesus Christ. Accept his work on the cross right now before it's too late. Amen? Let's pray. Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you enjoyed today's study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. Are you sure that if you were to die today that you go to heaven and not hell? Now, before you answer that, let me share with you a couple things that the Bible says. The Bible says that God is holy and that we are not. And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death. We don't deserve to go to heaven when we die. We deserve to go down. We deserve to go to hell. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this problem that we have, that we're separated from God not only now, but we're going to be separated from him for all eternity in a place called hell. We don't even want to admit that. So, once again, out of love, God gives us what's called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were God's X-ray, if you will, divine X-ray to get us to admit the problem that we have inside that's separating us from him. Let's take a look at a few of those, of God's divine X-ray. For instance, if you think that you're worthy on your own, you don't need a Savior, you're going to get to heaven all by yourself, then let's take a look at God's test there, the Ten Commandments. The ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That means lying. How many of you have ever told a lie before? Raise your hand. Okay. If you didn't raise your hand, you just told one. But folks, we've all done that. That makes us a liar. The Ten Commandments, God's X-ray, showing us that we have sin that's separating us from him. We're not holy and perfect like him. The fifth commandment says this, you shall not steal. Don't ever once take anything without permission. How many of you have ever done that? Well, if we're not going to tell another lie, we should all admit that as well. Well, that makes us a thief now. The Bible says that God is so holy, even his name is holy. And that's why the Ten Commandments says you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. And if we're honest again, folks, hey, a lot of us, how many of us have used the blessed name of Jesus Christ, the only name the Bible says under heaven that men might be saved? We've now turned it into a common cuss word, if you can believe that. The Bible says that's the sin of blasphemy. The Bible also says, hey, you want to show God you're so perfect, you have no sin, then don't ever once commit adultery. And you might say, well, I've never done that. Really? Jesus lays the standard before us. God looks at the heart. Man looks on the outside. Jesus said, if you ever looked with lust in your eye at another person, you've committed adultery in your heart. That's his holy standard. One more. The Bible says, okay, you think you're so good? Then don't ever once commit murder. You shall not murder. And you might say, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? The Bible again says that the sin of hatred, wishing someone was dead, is akin to the sin of murder. It's just, if you will, you pull the trigger in your heart. So how are you doing? That's just 5 out of 10 of God's divine X-ray, by the way, showing us the problem. How are you doing? Not if, but when your time comes, we're all going to stand before God. You will be forced to admit what he already knows. Hey, God, let me in. Let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer, an adulterer, and a murderer. And the Bible is clear. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. You're not headed to heaven. In that state, you're headed to hell. But here's the good news. God said if we would just admit this, number one, then he could fix it. And it gets fixed only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 6, he says, I am the way, the life, and the truth, and nobody comes to the Father but by me. Why? Because only Jesus lived the perfect life in our place. And Jesus died on the cross. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be set free. And since we weren't there, and since it's a gift and we can't earn it, we have to receive that wonderful gift by faith. And the Bible says God will pardon us for our crimes, our sins, against him. And you could actually see this analogy working in the natural, in the normal world. We see this actually in the courtroom. For instance, if a person is guilty and everybody knows they're guilty, they've committed a horrible crime and the sentence is passed, the judge has knocked down the gavel and says, hey, you are going to jail, you are going to the death penalty for that crime. And we know that people, that happens all the time, and they go to jail, but believe it or not, did you know there's a way for that person, even though they're guilty, to actually be set free from that crime? It's called a pardon. And the one in authority, the governor, has the part out of mercy, out of goodness, certainly nothing that that person did in jail. They can't undo the crime. It's too late. But out of mercy, the governor could go down there and grant that person in jail a full pardon for their crimes. And by receiving that pardon, the doors come open and they are set free and they're rescued from the death penalty. Folks, that's what God is doing every single day with us spiritually. He has allowed his son, Jesus Christ, to take the death penalty in our place. He's pardoned us, but a pardon does you no good unless you reach out and receive it. And it's actually been on historical record that there have been people on death row who a governor has gone down out of mercy and extends to them a full pardon, but they've rejected it. And by their own doing, they went to the death penalty. Folks, don't make that same mistake for all eternity. God loves you. He's willing to forgive you of anything and everything you've ever done, all of it, even the sins we don't even know about. He wants to pardon you and forgive you, but you must receive that by faith today. The Bible says if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you call upon his name, ask him to forgive you of all your sins, believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Please do that now. Please do that today, because tomorrow may be too late. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. Again, thank you for joining us. If there's anything that you need, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to contact us. Our information and number and things will pop up here on the screen here shortly. And remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.